slippers and cat toys and a miniature model garden house, greenhouse, whatever you want to call it.
I don't want to call it that.
A little pink telephone, a matryoshka, no face knitting.
Wait, what's happening here?
I'm just listing things I see because...
Are you having you have a panic attack and you're trying to ground yourself?
Clearly, it's time to start the show. This is AE Doubleback for Wednesday, January 26, 2022. Some people, not going to say who, but someone just started listing off things in their house, giving us an inventory. I imagine for people who want to break in and steal small Japanese tchotchkes.
Yeah. There's
hey, don't kid yourself. That is big money.
It's all sentimental value. I'll pay you $1,000 to not take my calcifer. Is it worth that much? No.
Well, in that case, DM me and I will give you Teresa's address for, let's say, $500. Then, you know, the rest of it's all you. Do
now,
what you gotta do.
That is a very, it may sound like a lot, but that is a great value because there are a lot of uses for that address. Really? You could you know build it into a craft project, you know.
Oh, yeah,
you could make a,
like,
cross stitch. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yep. We're both huge into cross stitch, as you well know, as we've covered multiple times on this show.
You could also use it to send me presents. That you guys should be sending me presents. You too.
Like that, so.
Both of you. Yeah, you should.
I'll think about it.
Real quick. Oh, go ahead.
Shop AEW has three new Street Fighter t-shirts.
Ooh.
It's Darby Allin and Dhalsim, Brian Danielson and Sagat, and Britt Baker and Chun-Li, all three of them, dope as hell. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm only going to reference Shop AEW when they really bring it, and these three shirts all brought it. Big fan. Anyway.
Chan is being an extremely emotionally withholding father, and I think it's going to pay off.
I'm hoping so. I mean, that's my whole MO with the kid. It's just like, you know what, there will be no love unless you do it right.
Teresa gasped.
I know. You know me. You have to say just kidding. Otherwise, I'm going to take it seriously.
you have to look into a mirror and say it five times or else.
This is not a JK. This is more of a KSO. Like, kidding, sort of.
Kidding on the square, as they say.
Is that what they say?
Al Franken said it like 20 years ago. So
there's also a cool CM Punk beanie.
Yeah. Okay, I'll give you that one. That is a pretty good one.
I'll acknowledge the truth of that.
Thank you.
I would like to encourage them to try a different fighting game to partner with for those shirts. I think it should be Clay Fighter.
Did they make more fighting games? I was only aware of Street Fighter 2 and nothing else.
Oh, yeah. There have been hundreds and hundreds of fighting games.
No, over the years. It doesn't sound like...
Shaq Fu.
I think you're thinking of Shazam Fu.
I might be.
Yeah.
Oh, well, don't you mean Sinbad then?
Maybe. See, you agree with me. Okay, we're all on the same page. I'm glad we can move on.
JK,
now.
JK, JK.
Okay.
KSO, KSO, KSO.
So we got a ladder match, and it's Beach Break, which is hilarious because the only reason why they ever came up with Beach Break in the first place is because they were stationed in Florida.
Stationed there.
Yeah, stationed. Like little soldiers that got us through. They were our USO, okay?
Oh, yeah.
They were our USO that got us through the war of a pandemic.
They were our Jack Benny and Dancing Girls.
Thank you. Okay. So It's a beach break, but we're in Ohio. So funny.
Well, this is a great geography lesson for a lot of people, because I think that a lot of people thought we just had the Pacific Ocean and the Atlantic Ocean, but now they get to find out. And I'm really jealous of them, because I already knew about the Great Lakes, but this is a gift they're getting now.
You know what's funny is I met someone from Ohio once, and when I asked where they're from, they're like, oh, I'm from the East Coast. I'm like, really? Oh, okay, cool. Where? Are you from New York? Because there was a bunch of other people from New York. And they were like, no, I'm from so-and-so, Ohio. I was like, that's not East Coast. That's Midwest. No, it is East Coast. It's way more close to New York than blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no, that's not how that works.
California?
That is not how that fucking works, okay? Ohio is decidedly the Midwest. And you fucking say that shit to somebody from Buffalo. You know what I mean? They're going to be like, no. Whatever.
Is Buffalo even East Coast, really, when you think about it? Western New York.
Technically.
Okay.
Look,
here's
the most
thing.
Legal sense.
I just looked at a map, and I honestly did not realize
it's close,
that Ohio
it's not that close.
Is east of Illinois.
Yeah, it
I
is.
Thought Chicago was closer to.
It's literally bordering Illinois. How is that East Coast?
Yeah.
Illinois is the center of the U.S. map, right? Sort of.
Yeah. No. Yeah. If your state does not have a coastline, it's you can't call it a coastal state.
No, she didn't say coastal state. Well, yeah. She did say East Coast, but whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I am 100% agreeing with you.
Referencing the East is so stupid. Okay, this is a dumb conversation.
This is important.
I think if everybody agrees with us.
Look, the hard reality is that Cleveland does have beaches. I think we can all agree about that.
Yes, they do. And Chicago even has beaches, and it's horrible.
No, they have lakeside, and that is not the same thing.
That is a beach. There's water, and there is sand.
There's lots of beaches, yeah.
That is a beach.
I will fight you on this. No.
I'm serious.
Same thing. If it's not coastal, it's not a damn beach.
First of all, I grew up on a beach, okay, and it wasn't on a coast. It's not an ocean beach, but there are lake beaches. There's lots of them.
I mean, you're from fucking Idaho.
Yeah, I grew up on Lake Coeur d'Alene.
No, beaches in Idaho.
Yes, there is. If there's sand, what the fuck do you call that?
Yeah, that's true.
A fucking pile of sand. There's sand in our preschool. I don't call it a beach.
In a crystal clear lake.
It's like a riverbank, or it's just a lake shore if there's no sand. But if there is sand, then that is
a
beach.
And it's a beach.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Okay. Well,
you know what? Fight me.
Here. We'll take this
to the alley, and I will fight you.
We'll take this to a special Patreon episode where we discuss what is and what is not a beach. What is not the East Coast?
Unfortunately, we cannot take this to the Supreme Court because right now there's only 8 justices. But the moment they replace the Breyer,
Stephen Breyer is staying until the summer. It's fine. It's cool. They'll hear us out. They'll be like, yeah, we'll set aside this abortion debate so we can figure out what's a fucking
beach. They're like,
beach
we just need a palate cleanser for a second.
I mean, you're
we'll take this on just to fucking give ourselves a break for a second.
You're implying that Stephen Breyer, who is about to have a free summer, is not going to want to clarify for sure what's a beach and what's not.
He's about to be out for the summer. He wants to hit up all them beaches.
Fair point. Oh, God.
Now he's
going to
smash so hard.
I just see Stephen Breyer just blasting Alice Cooper's Schools Out on his Walkman. It's a Walkman.
Yeah,
it's a cassette tape that he's listening to and just drinking Miller Lights.
Nothing wrong with that.
What's your thought process on picking Miller Light there?
Oh, my God.
I didn't want to say Natty Light. Didn't want to say, I'm sorry. Are we talking
about
wrestling?
20 minutes or however long.
All right. We apologize. Okay.
Because people want to listen to wrestling, and I get it. That's
I'll start putting in time codes, so it'll be like when you're listening to one of those, like you made it weird. It's like, you know what?
God.
I got to skip ahead 12 minutes to get to the thing.
That
I
would be a
hear.
Great idea. You should do that because,
and then we should start lying.
Wait a minute. They're talking about feet again. Where's the wrestling?
Dun, dun, dun. Okay, ladder match, beach ladder break. Match. And it is a beach break. So we got Sammy versus Cody. Cody's got a cool coat. It looks a little bit different. Like, I think this one is more white and the other one he wears is more blue.
Hmm.
If I would have encouraged Cody to go in any direction, it's more white.
Shivani was talking about the excitement of the match, and I just wasn't excited.
No?
I didn't want to see it. You know what I mean? They're forcing me to watch it, so I'm watching it. All right.
I was honestly excited because I've been so trained by WWE that you're only going to get, you know, like one big match if you're lucky, and you might get one or two like really good matches in the middle, but it won't, you know, they'll be like low profile, and you know, and to have a high profile big match just starting off a show, it still gets me pumped. And yeah, it's a total Mark thing. Like, mm-hmm. I should know by now, like, of course they're just gonna do this, it doesn't matter, but I still get excited by it. And that's all you want in a wrestling show. Get me excited, like, take me out of my headspace where I'm like thinking like, oh well, they're doing this and this is fake and this is blah blah blah. Just like,
I mean, that's not what I think. I just don't like Sammy. I
don't That's fair.
Want to mm-hmm. see this belt match because I'd Indeed. Rather it just be Cody.
Yeah.
And, you know, whatever. So we have to have this thing. And I know these two guys. Cody's amazing. And Sammy, as much as I hate him, he will sacrifice his body for the betterment of the match. As yeah. soon as Cody.
Not of mankind.
So you know it's going to be some fucked up stuff. And it's going to be crazy. And
yep.
to be fair to both of them, it absolutely is. It's so fucked up.
And for me, like, that they did a ladder match, like, is definitely what made the difference, because I think I might have been otherwise a little bit underwhelmed. But I do sit yeah. up and take notice when they are willing to open the show with that kind of a match and make it that kind of a match when anywhere in the card, it doesn't have to be that kind of a match. And it was pretty brutal.
It was very brutal.
I will tell you what, again, I've seen a lot of ladder matches. I don't know that I've seen a smoother ladder match. Oftentimes, like, you know, they'll be climbing up and then just doing like these terrifying things, and everybody's like wobbling at the top because it's
yeah.
You're 10-12 feet off the mat even. But like, there were like that first suplex off the top of the ladder, I was like, oh my god, like whatever yeah. they did, it looked like they were just standing on stone, and it was so impressive.
I think
later it really was
just like heavier ladders. I think they got better heavier ladders that aren't gonna wobble. Because the ones that we possible. Normally are used to seeing are aluminum, and those wobble a bit, even if they're kind of hefty, right? Because at a certain height, they're going to be kind of hefty anyways. But they have to be thin enough so that if they crash through them, it's not going to break somebody's bones. Mm. I think some of these were maybe like wood or something, and some of these were aluminum, and they painted them all black so you couldn't really tell which is which. So the ones where they smashed on them, actually, even the one where Cody was laying on it,
the
and
senton.
Sammy jumped on it, you hear yeah. a crack, but it sounded a little bit different. I don't know if that's the aluminum sound or if maybe that was wood even. But I feel like I would have seen a crack in the wood if that was the case.
All I know is that they definitely looked like very solid ladders relative to what you normally see.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there was such like, Sammy does a cutter like from another ladder yes. onto the other ladder. And yeah, it just looked amazing.
Yeah. He jumps from, there's two ladders. He jumps from one to tackle Cody and do a cutter. And then when both were up again, Cody did a crossroads from the top.
Yeah.
Sammy, let's see. Oh my god. There were so many things that happened. When at one moment Fuego del Sol ran in, and that really pissed me off because I'm like, get the fuck out of here. It's a ladder match. These things are all, there's, you know, all okay. It's none of this is a bad thing or disqualifies either of them. You have no right to run in and be like, what are you doing? What are you doing? He's just like pointing at him like, what are you doing? What are you doing to my friend? And it's like, what the fuck do you think he's doing to his friend? Your friend signed up for this.
It's real. You think Fuego Dussel is like a child who walked in on his parents for the first time?
He looks like it.
didn't understand.
It's real weird that they did that for the face. The good guy in the match has someone run in.
You know?
And obviously, he doesn't contribute anything. Cody, like, smashes him around. I guess it's just to buy a little more time because, yeah, they came after something that, like, obviously, yeah, give Sammy a little time to recover from that. But it did feel weird, and I would have preferred something else in that place to give a little time there.
It looked like they both destroyed their bodies, like they will never be the same. At one point when Cody did, I think it was the crossroads, it looked like he landed on his shoulder. And I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
He's so fucked.
He's probably still sensitive from all those burns.
And there was also the gut drop onto the upside down ladder, which is one of those. There's like a specific kind of move in wrestling that is intended to make to really have a visceral reaction to a normal person. Like when someone does like a big 360 spinning blah, 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 whatever, you're like, oh wow, that's impressive. But when someone does something like Abdullah the Butcher used to take a fork and jab it into people's foreheads, like you're like, oh, I felt that. I have felt a fork stab me, and that really hurts. And this thing, or like
we've all been pinched by ladder hinges.
I think we've all been stabbed by forks.
Yeah, we've all been pinched by, and then to think of like, oh God, if I landed on that with my naked, you know, torso, that would hurt. That would just cringe. Ugh. So that was delightful. Not a thing I'd seen before. So, you know, kudos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, this, you know, Sammy wins. I hate him so much. That's just me.
No, that's fine.
You know,
you're not alone.
He can keep up with Cody, and that's, you know, to be respected, but I just don't like him at all. So I don't want to see him. So it'd be great if he didn't have a belt.
And
well, I thumbed it up because I can't not, right?
Okay, yes, yes. That was my thought, too.
I don't
really want to see either of these people. I don't want to see this match, but they're good.
Yeah.
They're both
real good, and it was a real good match. And so, you know, like, you got to give it up. You just got to.
I don't like how people don't like Cody. I wish they would give him more cheers.
Yeah. More hugs, more kisses.
Yeah.
There was a thing here. I guess I'll bring it up now because it comes up again later. There, Cody puts a figure four onto Sammy with the ladder, and it's similar to when they do it on the corner post. And the idea is, you know, like, oh, now it's crunching up the person's leg against, you know, this real hard metal thing, and so it's going to hurt more. In this case, when he puts it on, like, the ladder doesn't hit any part that is being, you know, like torqued. So I was like, "What? Well, then why even bother?" Like, I get the idea that you want to use the ladder, but clearly from all of the camera shots, you can see that it's not doing anything. And eventually Cody like smacks it into his balls a couple times. And I was all right, whatever. But then Tony comes in and he's like, it's like it's not hurting his leg, but it looks like it hurts somewhere else. Like he calls out the fact that it's not doing what it's allegedly doing, but it is doing something else. A little bit later, the ref, they both climb up and they grab the belt thing, and then the ref moves the ladder, and obviously it's so that you can get a shot of them both hanging. but it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, like, I was why like, would what the a ref fuck move is she
doing? That? It was, and they were trying to explain that.
That's what I'm saying, is that Tony is there trying to explain it, and I realize that I don't give Tony nearly enough credit, because almost every time when something like that happens, somebody blows a spot, something just doesn't quite work, Tony's there, and he's like, this is what's happening here. Like, oh, he didn't get all of it, but you could definitely tell that, like, he really smacked him on the shoulder, well, like that, and that hurts. And I was like, damn, man, he really does contribute to making this a much more professional product. He smooths it all over, and you're like, yeah, no, I buy that. That wasn't a mistake. That was, you know, that's just how it is. So, like,
she's going to do a quick ladder inspection. Everybody hold tight for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all. Love, Shivani.
Would you guys
something I was? It was enough for me. Something that was kind of like bothering me. This was weird, because like, so both belts are hanging, and all I could think about was like, what happens if you only get one? But he gets them both. It was just weird to me that there are two objects and you had to get them both.
It was weird to be like, oh, I guess if one gets one and one gets the other, then they're still, for some reason, in interim belts. Like, it made no sense. It should have just been one belt.
Yeah.
You know, to be like, also, okay.
Yeah, they both look exactly the same. It's not like somebody like made it special and, you know, got it customized. It was just two of the same damn belt. Just
the interim one should have been like a lame driver's license for 16-year-olds that's like vertical, so that you don't, you know, like make a bartender think you can drink.
Yeah. I agree. Should have just been a sash.
Oh, I think it should have been, yeah. Or maybe a sandwich board.
Okay, so then we have Team Taz with Shivani and their LOL beach break in it in Ohio.
It looks so cold.
On a beach, and there's snow everywhere, which is hilarious. Hobbs has a fur coat on.
He has a fur coat on over his overalls and not wearing a shirt, which
you don't
is
need it when
so
you have a fur
good.
Coat.
Oh my god, I love that outfit. I loved all of their outfits.
Fur coats cut through all the cold.
What you call that is a triple X Vin Diesel look.
Starks had ski goggles on, loved it. Hobbs basically called out Dante. Starks called out what's his name?
Jay Lethal.
That's it, Jay Lethal. Oh, right. Thank you.
Yeah.
So Hobbs got to do a good amount of talking here, which I love. Normally in these segments, it would just have been Stark. So I love that Hobbs is getting more mic time. And then when they were done, Shivani's like, my hands are frozen. Hobbs goes, so? I just thought that was funny. I gave it a thumbs up.
Oh, yeah.
I just love that they were like, let's go to the beach. And do this segment for beach break, and it's all snow.
You got to call it out. You're in fucking Ohio in the middle of winter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Did you guys all thumb it?
Yeah. Oh, that's an up, yeah.
Then we have Wardlow and Sean Spears. They come out. Wardlow's wearing green again. Last time it was purple. Wardlow is fighting Dean and Alexander.
So Elijah Dean and James Alexander, I think is what it was.
Yeah. So it's two against one. So we got two Jason Reynolds against one Wardlow in his hometown.
Jason Reynolds, no waiting.
Yeah. In Wardlow's hometown.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Basically, he power bombs and he wins. He also had snot dripping out of his nose, which at the end of the match – and they raise his hand. He's all red. And snot drips off of his nose. And he sniffs it up. It's just disgusting, right? But there we are. I think he's a little Omicronic right now. So maybe that's what that is.
Or it's fucking 4 below in fucking Ohio in winter.
So, but he's inside. What do you think?
You think they're pumping heat all through that ginormous stadium?
Yes.
I would guess it's probably still a little cold in there.
I mean, I don't think so, because like places like that are used to having to keep it heated in the winter when there's events. You know, it's not
Poppy
like they.
Cock, I say.
Well,
Poppy
whatever.
Cock.
Well, I mean, I guess I agree that it's heated. I just have my doubts as to how effective he is in all
you
points
guys are
of
acting
the.
Like he's like fighting out in the snow, and he's all his face is all red because he's been outside, and his cheeks get all flushed like a little kid. He's got a cold or something, and his body got heated up, and so his mucus is draining. I get that. It has nothing to do with the temperature of the fucking building.
I mean, that may be, but all I can say is that I hope that it wasn't some of his black humor leaking out and he has an imbalance now.
Well, I gave it a middle.
I tell you yeah, what.
I'll give it a middle as well.
I thumbed it down because... Oh. It's been long enough now.
Yeah, I hear you.
And yes, they did change it up barely. They had two people instead of one person, mm-hmm. but it didn't advance the story. And I understand, like, you know, we're padding this record out. It's getting over. It's his hometown. People pop when they see him do the, you know,
firebombs.
I mean. I don't know. I think Tony said something like, it's the fourth movement of the symphony. And you can say symphony all you want, but still, when you say fourth movement, I'm like, he's pooping. That's his fourth poop of the day. Great. Oh, I don't want to know that.
Well, I do find that interesting when you get to that number.
but
yeah, there's
yeah,
something wrong.
It's just like, pull the trigger on something. I'm tired of seeing it.
Me too. Speaking of tired of seeing it, we've got Jericho with Santana and Ortiz versus 2.0 and Garcia. Okay, so they reminded us that Santana and Ortiz basically in a promo said to Jericho, you know, you'll see at this next match that we just don't need you at all. Okay, and so that's kind of what happened. They wouldn't tag him in. He tried to tag himself in, and they would tag themselves back in. So basically, Jericho left the ring, and he was just on the side. So then Santana Ortiz were against all three of those guys, 2.0 and Garcia. And things were going fine, but it the key moments, Jericho did some moves when they didn't see him, and that helped them win. And, of course, they're going to be mad about that, and Jericho's going to be like, hey, I helped you, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Clearly, this is going towards a breakup. Jericho's mad at them right now. They're mad at him. I gave this whole thing a middle.
Same. I don't. You know, the match was fine.
It was fine.
But yeah, I just don't care about this whole thing.
Yeah.
No, it's interesting because I guess I liked it a little bit better. I liked it enough to give it an up. Maybe I was just more affected by like the sight of Jericho just being hurt to the core by the snub. And like, I don't know. I always give it up a little bit for face painted Santana and Ortiz as well.
I would love it if this pushes Jericho to be a heel again. I would really love it.
That would be nice.
Yeah, I would not have a problem with that at all.
All right. So then we have Matt Hardy talking to Christian Cage. And there's Private Party and Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus.
There was a Hangman video, wasn't there?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I forgot. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, because they actually do talk about... the match, and Archer, I really liked
promo with an Adam Page, promo, and I thought it was good. I liked Lance Archer. I liked Adam's response to it being a, what was it? What kind of match was it? A street fight? a Texas street fight?
A Texas death match.
Something.
Yeah. Like, that was the only part I actually didn't like, when they're like, yeah, but he just said there was a Texas death match. And Paige has got to go like, oh, what? And like trying to like sell that it was like he just found out about that. Didn't work for me. But overall, it was fine. It was great.
That logic always bothers me, because they're like, yeah, and Lance Archer remarked that it's a Texas death match. I'm like, remarked? Who decided that? And when?
Like, I signed a contract. That information should have been on there.
Like, I never read it. I mean,
when you scroll all the way down to the accept terms and conditions, that's what happens.
Oh, goddamn EULAs.
Are we thumbing that?
Yeah, I thumbed it up.
I thumbed it up. I
did as well.
Okay, so we got Matt Hardy, Christian Cage, Private Party, Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus.
And Shivani on the stairs. Don't forget him.
Oh, yeah, Shivani. Oh, yeah, I did forget about him. Christian Cage talks about Billy Gunn and the Ass Boys. And then Matt Hardy says, no one cares about the Ass Boys. They care about Private Party. way to make that the best fucking sentence ever. No one cares about the Ass Boys. Like, not even correcting him in any way, and just building on it in a beautiful way. I loved it. I love it because of Matt Hardy and because of Private Party. Didn't really care for Jungle Boy in the segment. Don't really care about Christian Cage, although he did give us the phrase the Ass Boys. I love that. thumbs up.
I did thumb it up. I did like Jungle Boy only had one line. It was like, that watch is fake. We'll see you at Rampage. When it's super tight and short like that, for people who are, you know, I'm not particularly interested in hearing talk, I'm like, yes, thank you. Do that more. So yeah, I thumbed it up.
Yeah, it was pretty good. The watch line was my particular favorite.
We've got CM Punk in the ring. He's calling out MJF. Basically, MJF agrees to wrestle in Chicago. So, I mean, you knew it was going to happen. You knew it was going to be Chicago. But now it's confirmed. Then MJF's guys attacked Punk, and Wardlow isn't doing anything. So, you know, Punk had some great promo work prior to MJF coming out. MJF had promo work. I'm not going to say it's great. But then MJF, all of his minions attacked Punk in the ring. And Wardlow was just sitting on the side, not doing anything. And I loved that. But then, you know, Punk grabbed MJF's scarf again, and then MJF ordered Wardlow to powerbomb him. And I was so hoping that Wardlow would instead powerbomb MJF, but he didn't. He powerbombed Punk. And then MJF crisscrossed applesauced on CM Punk's chest.
Like, in that context, that sounds a lot grosser than it normally
does. It
does.
And when I wrote it down, I was like, how am I going to say this? Where it doesn't sound like he took a dump.
But then Teresa said, like, no, but no. There are kids out there who are listening to this podcast, and they need to hear this.
They need to know.
They need to know that I'm thinking about poop 24/7,
applesauce,
nonstop. Just pooping on chests.
All over
Cleveland steamers. We are in Cleveland. This is a Cleveland steamer. You brought it up. I don't know why you keep doing that. It's just disgusting.
I could, you know, we could have just gone through and no one could have flagged that sentence, but y'all are the ones that like to dig deep on these things. So,
colonoscopy, if you will.
I middled all this.
I did thumb it up. I agree. MJF is sort of like just kind of monotone these days, just doing the same sort of thing. Even still, I do enjoy it when, you know, he's like, hey, do you want to see me fight him? And you know that he's going to say no.
Oh,
but
yeah,
still
yeah.
The audience is like responding like, yeah. And then he's like, no. It puts a smile on my face. Punk's line about like, it's $5 for a 12 pack of these scarves on Amazon. That made me giggle. at like a cheap shot at Long Island. You're like, that's, I knew it wasn't made of strong material. Like a lot of the stuff is real rote and telegraphed, but both of them are really good at delivering it. So, you know, yeah.
You know, yeah. That ubiquitous thing that is on so many manufactured products made in Long Island.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very normal.
Yeah, yeah. We have textiles in America.
Also, $5 for a 12-pack of Burberry scarves, I feel, you know.
It's not Burberry. It's like some generic plaid.
Schmurberry.
Yeah, you would find them at some market somewhere where they have protos and, you know, gucky and...
Yeah, you can pay that for scarves, Sherbury. But just, you know, you have to know that they're bogus KN95 scarves.
Calder, what'd you say?
Yeah. It was an up for me mostly on Punk's promo before MJF. I'm definitely like eager for the Wardlow thing to come to a head, but it's been a little bit, just as it has been with Jericho since MJF did his really prime stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've got the Acclaimed promo. They're challenging Mox to a match on Rampage. Some funny bits in there, calling Mox like Al Bundy married with children looking ass.
What is Oscar Kokoschka?
I don't know.
Good question.
I was going to ask you guys.
I thought it was like Oshkosh Bagosh, maybe, but like could Oscar Kokoschka ass. Clearly this is a reference that I am missing.
Yeah.
Oskar Kokoschka was an Austrian artist, poet, and playwright and teacher
a fictional character in Hey Arnold.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. He's the guy that lives at Sunset Arms. Oh, ah. Man, that's a deep cut.
Well, I do think it might have been this obscure Austrian playwright.
They're not wrong.
Oh, wow. Oh, I'm looking at the picture now. And
yeah. He looks exactly like it.
That is fucking solid.
It's like the best. Oh, my God. Yes. Oh, boy. Everyone just Google it now.
It's Kokoschka. Or just type, you know, like Oscar and Hey Arnold, and it'll come up. Holy shit.
Holy shit,
like,
yeah.
I
like the Acclaim, but every once in a while, they'll slip something by, and I'm like, did you do that?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
So, I love it.
Well, let's look at the leaderboard of all the top wrestling promotions in America and their Oscar Kokoschka references.
And then when they were done, they said Star Wipe, which I love so much because as a Simpsons fan, when Homer was making a video for Ned and he was editing it together, every transition was a Star Wipe. And Lisa was like, you know, there's more transitions than Star Wipe. It's like, yeah, but why would you do that? And then as they're filming something, he's like, did you get that? Great. And Star Wipe.
That was good. But to me, even better was the little hand gesture that they did to finish. Because it was this little scissoring thing between their hands.
They always do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's their calling card. But anyways, I thought they were funny as always. It was a thumbs up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Thumb up.
Okay. We've got Shivani with Griff and Julie. From Varsity Blondes.
Julia, don't sell Julia the poor girl's
heart. Oh, sorry, Julia.
Don't lose a syllable for crying out loud. She's only got three.
Look, who are you, Vince McMahon?
Well, look, I don't know. I just go with as I see them. I think she's a Julie. So Julia and Griff. Smart Mark Sterling interrupts, and he said, I have a contract here from Jade. She's challenging Julia. Now, how hilarious is this? You have this like behemoth of a woman who is so covered in muscles that when we saw a video of her earlier this week, she was like in a bathing suit and she was walking, I guess, to the beach or something. The sun on her body made all these shadows in her stomach. It looked like just a bag of bread rolls. Like, they're so like round muscles that I've never seen. Like, whoa. Anyway. And
not just regular rolls, but split top rolls that make it look like even more muscle.
And boy, so can you imagine Jade and Julia? Well, Griff tries to stop it. And Julia's like, I can think for myself, thank you very much. And which I like. She's, ever since she got this eye patch, she's getting tougher. And that's what we want. We don't want to wrestle children. We don't want, like, you know, little kids in the ring. No one wants that. So it was good that they transitioned her from, like, you know, a 14-year-old girl on her high school cheerleading squad to a girl with an eye patch. Sure, whatever. But she's just got a little more grit, and she's a decidedly older for some reason. That I'll watch somebody wrestle that person. You know what I mean?
You know, when you lose an eye, it matures you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I thumbs it up.
Yeah, absolutely.
I thumbs it up. It's hard because I don't want to see Griff or Julia on the mic.
I thought she did okay though.
She was fine. I'm for all of what's going to happen here. For her getting smushed by Jade, and you know,
yeah. Yeah.
Well, let's not prejudge. Maybe she'll destroy Jade.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what that patch has done? Maybe there's a laser under there.
Oh, that's exactly what I was hoping you would say.
I mean, if it turns her to the dark side and Kings of the Black Throne come out to support her, then yes, I'm on board.
We've got legit Layla Hirsch versus Red Velvet. You know, I wanted so much more for this match. I thought it was fun. But there was some not great stuff as well as good stuff. There's some mistimed stuff, things that looked a little, I don't know. I was like, was this the wrong camera angle for this moment? Because that looked like a total, you know, whiff, mm-hmm. you know, like they missed a spot or something. But there was some moments like that. And that always gets me uncomfortable. You know, I don't want to see anyone fuck up like that.
That's fair. I really liked this. One, I like the start because Red Velvet just comes running down to the ring instead of doing her whole thing. And I hate the stirred up thing that she does, where she sits, cocks her hip, and then like stirs a pot of something, a very small pot. I guess macaroni and cheese. I don't know. Maybe it's ramen.
I think cake batter.
Why do you think it's macaroni and cheese?
Why should be? Because
that's the only thing he stirs.
When I make mac and cheese for my 4-year-old, I use the small pot. And it's the tininess of the pot that I have a problem with. But I really like Layla's style. She's really evolving it, and you know, like doing this really sort of ground based wrestling thing. Before she was doing like a lot of like throws and such like that, but she's doing more stuff now where like she's like blocking and grabbing and like stopping moves and transitioning them into things. And it's completely different from what everybody else is doing, which I'm a huge fan of. And she's getting much better at it. Like it's still going to take time to evolve the style. Like I think even like Ronda Rousey, like it took a little while to like really make it look good, but when it did, you're like, oh my Christ, that's amazing. And to this day, no one has, you know, sort of like stepped up and, you know, like done that sort of thing. And I think Layla's creating her own style that I'm so looking forward to being, you know, just a killer down the line. So.
And something I like is the heel turn that she's been on. I think that's like a really welcome element in the general women's division, is to have like women like that.
Yeah, they definitely needed to have some people transition over to be bad people because most of the women were faces, and they definitely didn't have, if they're going to have like a good division, they have to have somewhat balanced so that they have more opponents, you know, on either side. But yeah, I like how they've taken Layla's strengths and made it really work for her and found a path for her to create a character in which all of that is suited to her. And yeah, I do like that a lot. But Layla won. It was not a clear win. So, you know.
She grabbed the tights, cheated a little bit.
You know what I mean? So it's a little, Red Velvet could, you know, call BS on it at some point, but.
Yeah.
Then but after also, the bell, she still was attacking. Very heel move.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, this whole thing I gave a middle. I didn't not like it, but, I don't know.
Yeah, I was also hoping for a clean win, but the fact that Red Velvet is the number one contender, the fact that Layla wins at all, especially without a run-in, is really big, and I'm for that. So, yeah.
Cool. Where'd you thumb it, Calder?
Oh, it was enough for me. I thought it was a good match.
All right. We've got Malakai Black and Brody King doing a promo. Basically. Yeah. Talking about Pac, and they say just like death, we are inevitable.
Love it, love
it. Well, it was now it, someone. Now someone needs to say just like taxes, I am inevitable.
Am I right?
Yeah, bring back Mike Rotunda. The simple stuff of Brody like. Coming out of the shadows and just like being there and then like retreating into the shadows and sort of like disappearing. So cool. It's just like really theatrical and fun. And that's like, that's their, you know, their aesthetic, their style. So like all of it's just perfect. I love it.
I think that that having Brody come in is really like solidifying the entire thing. It was just amusing to me that line that was definitely very good, but I can't ever help but imagine the inception of the line where they're like planning out, oh, it would be really great if we went out there and said, you know, like we're inevitable like death. Oh, what if we split it up? And I say the first half, okay, let's practice. I'm going to say it and don't say your part right away. Let it sit for a moment.
Yeah, I gave it a thumbs up.
Yeah, huge thumbs up.
Oh, absolutely.
Then comes a moment that I had steam coming out of my ears.
Oh, no. I knew you would not like this.
Yeah, no. Sammy, he's with cue cards and Fuego del Sol's with him.
I didn't even mark this. I'd completely forgotten it existed. It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. Whatever you're saying right now just sounds like garbled noise to me.
Okay. Well, I thumbs it down. I torpedoed it to hell.
Wow. Wow.
All the way down. All the way down.
I middled it. I did not really care for it. I guess I didn't care against it. Had they been like, and we're going to stay with this in full screen, then I would have been compelled to down it, I think.
Wow. So this is a rainbow?
Is it?
Is it really? Wow.
Did you up it?
No, I downed it. Oh, wait. No, wait. Hold on.
Yeah, this is no... He middled it.
Did you middle it or did you...
I downed it.
Okay. So, my bad. Two downs in a middle. Gotcha.
Okay.
So noted.
All right.
Finally,
so,
get the order right.
I haven't even been counting them as a segment just because they're in between matches, so or like in between during commercials.
Well, anyway,
I think it felt a little bit more like it was an actual thing because they did actually start in full screen and then said, and now we're gonna go to P&P for the rest of this.
And that's he fair. Was like actually in frame, so technically you could read the cue cards. God, I just hope. Ugh, I just can't stand him. Anyway, all right.
Sounds like Shivani. You wanted to wish death on him, and then you were like, "I shouldn't say that for legal reasons."
Yeah, I just, I wish there was something different. I wish something would change so that suddenly I could like him.
Anyway. Fair enough.
Shivani. He's with Britt in the ring. Meh. What'd you guys think?
Concise. I'll tell you what. I thumbed it up. I feel like this is a very WWE style thing. Mm-hmm. But they do it so rarely. I should say, absent the Jericho segments, which I honestly just a blank out again. They don't even exist for me. It is actually covering some like important stuff. Like she is receiving solid accolades from the industry for the work she's put in. And like, if she were a face, then it would mostly be left up to the announcers to be like, hey, and she won this thing. And you like people, you know, she's really good. She's doing all this stuff. And the fact that she's a heel, she kind of has to toot her own horn. But the fact is, she has reason to. Like, she is putting on amazing matches, and she's, I'm not going to say she carries the division, because there are a lot of real good people in this division, but she's really good. So, like, don't ever do this again, but you get one. You get one, and I'm fine with it.
I would call for them to do it, like, 100 consecutive times.
Oh, God damn it.
I had the genuine reaction of like, oh, I knew she had gotten some of that attention from Pro Wrestling Illustrated. I didn't realize she was part of that many of their superlatives. And I was like, oh, that really is impressive.
Yeah. You know, I mean, there was nothing bad. It was just meh for me. Boring. This information has to get relayed somehow. So there we are. And I'm in.
I can imagine how it might have been like more fun if they had built more out of it. Like if they had something going on with her whole crew and like outsiders or something like that. But it was still, I thought, pretty good.
Can you imagine being in the crowd and having to wait for them to set up that table, set up those little poster boards with those little things on it, and wait, and then they start talking? God, that'd be annoying.
I mean, well, it seems like a good time to go get a pretzel.
Yeah, it would give me time to go to the bathroom. But yeah, so I don't know. It was fine, but whatever.
Fine. You live your truth.
I middled.
Yeah.
Middled.
Mm. What'd you do, Calder?
It was an up for me. I just found it to be like a good representation of the actual impressive work that she did.
Yeah. We got FTR and Tully with Lee, Arn's son, and Arn. I have zero desire.
I didn't even bother with this one because I don't think there was anything new. It was just
they challenged and they accepted the challenge.
Did they?
Yeah.
I thought that was like a last week on kind of thing.
I mean,
did I miss it? Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Lee's like, do you want to do this? And Lee's like, yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
So, I downed it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm so strong today in my dislike of things.
Wow.
Could be all the true crime things I'm watching.
Are you afraid that one of them is like some sort of serial killer?
No, I don't know. Maybe just has soured me on the world. I don't know. I never watched that stuff, but the last couple days I have been. So maybe that's it.
We're seeing a new, grittier attitude.
Suddenly I have an eye patch. All right.
Yeah, I didn't really care about it. I middled it.
What about you?
I middled. Don't care.
So Vicky wants us to stop the show. Nyla Rose runs out. And she's demanding I think she was yelling up the announce desk or something. She's demanding a match with Ruby Soho. And it's like, shouldn't you be asking Tony Khan? Middle.
Well, you know, I think that it's one of those situations where somebody who's like not feeling control of their life situation kind of like imposes it wherever they feel like they can, you know, like why you would yell at a fast food worker, like in order to vent like all your frustrations in life. And it's like, you know, maybe they did mess up your nuggets, but are they the source of all your problems? I doubt it.
Yeah, maybe. Your problems didn't start or end with the nuggets.
That is something I'm going to put on a t-shirt. Problem didn't start or end with your nuggets, pal.
I mean, we should make a needle point.
Yeah, we should. Nice. And can you make it like the nuggets look like the nugget puppets from McDonald's?
Of course.
What else would we do? Come on. I don't know.
They're my favorite things on this planet. All right. So Adam Cole versus Orange Cassidy. I mean, you know it's going to be good.
Yeah.
And they don't disappoint. One of my favorite reveals. Something squeaking and all this stuff. What is that? Do you hear that?
I've been wondering myself. I assumed that you had got a bird.
Yeah, I thought it was a bird too. But now I heard specific streaking like squeak.
Calder, you have a bird?
That could be me. I have 5 birds.
Okay, well, tell your birds to wait outside for a sec.
Oh, man.
Sorry, real quick. What did you thumb the Nala Vicky thing?
Me?
Who are you asking?
Both.
Middle.
Oh, I guess a middle.
Okay. I did thumb it up.
Okay.
It was short.
We got Adam Cole versus Orange Cassidy. One of the best reveals was Danhausen was under the ring. Mm-hmm. I lost it.
I was so excited to see him because he's been around for a while, and this was him like actually appearing in the main show.
Actually, which was during the show and not just on everybody's freaking Instagram or whatever. And like, I wonder if this means he's going to get signed. I don't know. Because everyone loves him. Everyone knows who he is.
Tony Khan
posted that Danhausen is all elite.
oh, shit.
Dan's finally got their wish.
Yeah.
Oh, this is there really is exciting. A Santa.
I'm pretty happy about this.
Fucking A, like,
I kept floating this as like maybe, you know, how cool would that be? I would love it. And Chan, you didn't think that it would happen.
You know, all the haters.
I did not.
All the haters.
This is a big L for Chan, frankly.
This is a great gift to the audience then. They didn't do any separate segment for Danhausen, but they allowed him to be like in the match of the night, you know, to appear. Fucking great, you know.
And it was wonderful.
Appear in a weird way, which is very Danhausen.
Yeah, and it is very much for like hardcore fans because most people don't know who Danhausen is. For the people that do, they pop hard because of course he's gonna be there, just latched onto a chair underneath the ring.
Yeah,
the people of Cleveland did give him a good response.
They did.
You know?
So you know, this is a no DQs lights out match, and so we've got chairs, garbage cans, chains, all kinds of shit. Brandon Cutler comes out, but then Wheeler Yuta gets him. Bobby Fish comes out, but then Chuck Taylor gets him. The Young Bucks come out, but then Trent and Rocky Romero get them. Well, they don't really get them. The Young Bucks beat them up, but whatever. The Young Bucks.
It was a really cerebral chess match for a while there.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun to watch, but then my favorite was, you know, towards the end of the match, when Orange Cassidy starts going crazy and he does this orange punch and it looks like a video game punch. It looks so good. And I haven't seen an orange punch in a minute now. So that was really cool. Cold is a low blow, but Orange had a steel cup on that had thumbtacks on the front of it.
That is really like a high risk defensive measure.
It really is.
I can only imagine like the risk that the thumbtacks hurt you.
Yeah, of course, his thighs and his hands. If he's not careful, you know, shit. But then he did the tiny kicks while Cole is tending to his poor little hand. God, there's so many really cool things. Orange was putting chains around his fingers, and I thought, wouldn't that break his like finger bones? If he hit somebody with the chains, wouldn't his bones break? Am I crazy?
Maybe he put the soft side of the chain on his side.
Yeah. Come on, this is basic physics. Who doesn't know that?
Because like brass knuckles, I feel like the way they don't break your bones is because of the back part that your palm, like, it's not really on your, well, whatever, I don't know. Anyways, point is, so Cole's getting hurt, so he leaves the ring through the tunnel, and then they're backstage, throws Cassidy through a table and a monitor, Cassidy kicks Adam in the face. He's going to hit them in the chains, but then Cole throws a light at him, like one of those huge stadium lights.
I assume that was dummied up, right?
It had to have been. I mean, those are really expensive and probably very temperamental.
And that I can imagine is the only reason why they would dummy it. It's just the cost.
Yeah. So Cole climbs the light scaffolding. And he is going to do a move on Orange, who had just been hit by light and is laying down. But when he gets up there, he doesn't see Orange Cassidy. But we see him because he went up the other side and he's behind Adam Cole.
Then
he does a low blow. And then Orange hugs Cole, gives him a best friend's hug. Because at first I thought he was going to kiss him, but he gave him a hug. And then Cole can't get away. And so Orange starts looking down and Cole's like, no, 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 no. And Orange takes Cole with him when he jumps off the fucking scaffolding and they crash through the stage together. Orange ends up being on top and the ref counts it. And Orange wins. Now, it looked like when they kept replaying that moment, it looked like Cole landed on his head and his neck or something. I mean, I was really worried. I was like,
yeah, I hope he's okay.
Yeah, I really hope he didn't fucking die just then.
I hope he is alive.
I do.
Like, I saw him breathing and alive. I kept checking to make sure he was breathing. He was breathing. But I mean, I don't know. People in comas breathe too. So I don't know.
Yeah. I think at some point they definitely put his body on a scale to see if the weight of his soul was gone.
21 grams.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Which is the best way and most efficient to check if someone's dead.
Yeah. To put them on a scale.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I gave it a thumbs up. This whole thing, it was great.
Oh, it was wonderful.
I gave it a thumbs up. I felt like it was real slow at the beginning, and apart from a couple of gimmick things. Like, I was like, the steel cup thing was like, oh, okay. That's kind of fun, but also kind of goofy. And once they actually got backstage, I was like, okay, well, this is starting to pick up, you know, like putting them through Tony Khan's table, you know, and Jerry Lynn there, you know, Becca Gorilla. That's kind of neat. I really liked, there was a really great shot of Orange's bloody hand doing the thumb. And I couldn't tell if it was gimmicked or not. I couldn't tell if he actually was bleeding on his hand, because I don't recall a lot of blood during this match. But like, we were selling that idea of like, you know, his hand hit the bell early on. And so, you know, he had to figure out how to do the orange punch, even though he was injured. And if they make that shirt, it will be amazing. And I will love it so much. You know, you got Britt, you got Ty, and you got that half thumb with the bloody hand.
I mean, we know that's how you get onto the Mount Rushmore of AEW. You gotta have a bloody shirt.
Gotta have a little bit of blood.
Despite a real banger at the beginning and the end, this is an 80% show, which is pretty low for AEW Dynamite.
Wow.
I know. I had two downs, and that's rare for me.
Yeah, there were some real stinkers in here. And yeah, what are you going to do?
Well, I think there weren't that many segments.
There were not. Yeah, it was. There were a lot fewer than normal. Maybe not a lot fewer, but definitely fewer. I do think this is exactly why you book a big opener and a big close, because as anyone will tell you, anybody who's ever booked any theater show, if it starts out with a big thing and they leave happy, then they'll forget most of the trash in the middle.
But yeah. But I want to stress, don't get yourself into a conversation with somebody who's booked a lot of those shows. Like, you, that's a dead end for you. You don't want that.
Also, don't be that person, because yeah. you will bore everybody who you talk to, and yeah. you'll eventually have to rope them into a podcast, maybe about wrestling, and hopefully it'll be a couple years before they realize what they got suckered into.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We all hope.
Huh.
We all hope, and you know, here we are, really thinking about it.
Yeah.
Long and hard.
Thinking about a lot of stuff right now.
Thinking about a lot of long, hard things.
No.
At it, you know what? I just wish you would stop going blue, Teresa. It's appalling. And you're really dragging down the level of discourse here on the podcast.
You're really hurting our chances of reaching the Doug Johnson's son demographic.
There are too many F-bombs on this one.
There really are.
You can say it on TBS. Child approved.
At AE double back on Twitter, @AE_doubleback on Instagram and such like. Go check out our Patreon that doesn't exist.
Our
fictitious Patreon we love to joke about.
And we're going to be talking to those of you who aren't turning in your homework soon.